Welcome to the Fearless Warrior Podcast, a place for athletes, coaches, and parents who know the value of a strong mindset. I'm your host, Coach AB, a mental performance coach on a mission, former softball coach, wife, and mom of three. Each episode, we will dive deep into all things mental performance, mindset tools, and how to rewire the brain for success. So if your goal is to gain the mental edge and learn the secrets of mental performance, you're in the right place. Let's tune in to today's episode. All right, Fearless fam, I am so excited to bring you Jade Hewitt. She is a women's sports professional photographer and runs her own company, Jade Hewitt Media. She played college softball while pursuing her undergraduate degree in studio arts and also has her master's in film production. Her professional softball career began with the Dallas Charge, part of the National Pro Fast Pitch. And then from 2016 to 2019, she was the media director for the Scrapyard Dogs. Jade then went on to work with USA Softball as the official photographer and videographer for the Stand Beside Her tour and covered USA Softball in their journey to the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. The proudest moment of her career came when she photographed Team USA winning the silver medal at the Olympics. Currently, she is the lead photographer for Athletes Unlimited and their four women's professional sports leagues. Her work is truly amazing, and if you follow her on social media, you get to see behind the scenes of her amazing work and what she gets to capture every single day. And I have her here live with me. Jade, I'm so pumped to have you. Welcome to the Fearless Warrior Podcast.
Can you like be there when I wake up in the morning and just fire me up? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, let's go.
Hey, we have our athletes fill out confidence resumes. I'm your demo reel.
That's so awesome. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me on. I mean, it's awesome to be able to be on something that's so prominent in our community with Fearless Fast Pitch and everything. So yeah, I'm super stoked to be here.
I know you and I have had a chance to talk in the DMs and message and just really cool moments of trying to chase down your Topps cards, chase down the Target employee. Hey, where are your trading cards?
And yep. Just
so many cool conversations. So I'm glad that we get a chance to talk. So for the Fearless fam listening, Jade's work, you've been featured in ESPN, Forbes, you've been on covers of magazines for the athletes you've featured. I know you like being behind the lens, but I had to bring you on the podcast because your passion and your stories, can you tell us, give us a quick recap, you know, where are you at? What are you doing these days? And yeah, what's a day in the life look like?
Yeah, well, right now I'm the lead photographer for Athletes Unlimited, and we're actually in our off season. So you can see like the Christmas stuff everywhere. I'm just trying to enjoy a little bit of downtime up here in Chicago. And just, you know, we're doing a lot of off season work, getting ready for 2024 with all of our sports and, you know, just enjoying the stillness before we get into season. And then it's just chaos in a great way, but it's chaos. But yeah, doing a lot of editing projects and just planning some cool stuff for 2024.
I cannot wait. It's been so fun to see the league grow. And for those of you that don't know, when did Athletes Unlimited start? What year?
2020 was our first season with softball up in Rosemont. So yeah, softball was season one.
Yeah. And you're doing all sports. Did you start with all sports? What's that? Talk about how that kind of started for you.
Yeah, for sure. I started with Athletes Unlimited, I guess, like right before softball began. And so softball was like the only sport and all the attention went to softball, which, you know, as a softball person myself, it was like unbelievable. So being lead photographer is I shoot three out of the four sports. So softball, volleyball, and basketball. And then we have a we have a freelancer who covers lacrosse because it overlaps with softball. So can't be in two places at once. So Kate beautifully covers lacrosse, but being lead photographer is being on site for the majority of all three of those sports, softball, volleyball, and basketball. And a lot of shooting and a lot of editing. And yeah, it's been a really interesting experience to go from softball, which like, you know, is a sport that, you know, like in your bones. And then I went to volleyball and I was like, hi, I'm new here. Like, I don't know what is happening. And so that's been a really interesting part of the photography journey of going from a sport that, you know, backwards to a sport that you don't know where people are going and what they're doing and all that. So AU has definitely given me the platform to, you know, giving me a chance to grow and learn some other sports while also, you know, we wait all year for softball. So, you know, everybody knows it. We wait for softball. So
yeah,
it's a pretty wonderful company that's doing some really good things. So.
Well, and I think it's really fun too, because you're not just a photographer. And everyone that I've talked to that is a player in, you know, the draft and how the system works is you're not just showing up and playing. The concept of it is that you guys are on the ground floor and you're not just showing up and, you know, here's this event and we're done. I mean, you're doing a lot behind the scenes to advocate and to grow, you know, as someone on the staff.
Yeah, absolutely. That's been like one of my favorite parts of it. You know, like obviously the photo shoots and the games and the lights and all that are really fun, but I get so many DMs and emails from girls that are in junior high and high school up to like graduate students who are like, I want to work in women's sports, or I want to work at AU or in this space or whatever the case may be. So getting the chance to really dive into that and really trying to like get as many girls in this space as possible is like, that is what really just like melts my heart beyond anything else. You know, I've had like middle schoolers message, like they will, or their parents are like, hi, we're doing a book report and we need pictures of the players. And then like, I just talked to this girl last week and she was like, and she's in grad school, I think writing like a thesis paper on women's sports. Like everywhere in between, you get a chance to through the lens of AU, no pun intended, but through the lens of AU, you get to impact a lot of different areas and you get to, you know, talk with a lot of girls who in 5, 10, 15 years are going to be in this space. And that's what really kind of fires me up. And it's a lot of fun and something that I never really planned on doing or intended, but it's been like the biggest blessing of all time.
Well, and being able to advocate and show what's possible, I think a lot of us, myself included, if I was self-aware and knew that I wasn't going to be able to either A, have that opportunity to play pro softball, even if I was talented enough, that there are so many different ways that you can stay involved in the game. And I think primarily we think about, well, I could either play
right, or
I could coach. And how many college athletes will turn around and become, you know, a grad assistant mm-hmm. or get into lessons, but you're living, breathing proof that you can be involved. You know, how cool is that? So can you talk about, like, what would you go back and say to your high school counselor? Like, hey.
I don't know. I would be like, hi, I have a lot of energy and I don't really know what to do with it. I mean, I knew coming out of high school and like playing in college and stuff, like I was not D1 talent. I played at a D3. Now I was good and I have accolades and all these things, but like I was not D1 talent. I was not pro talent. And I knew that pretty early on, you know, like when I was 12, I'm sure I was like, I want to be a pro softball player, but eventually you're like, well, let's take a look in the mirror. So, you know, I was like, how can I kind of really stay where I'm comfortable? And I think that was probably the first thought was like, where can I stay with something that I'm good at rather than like, how do I stay working in women's pro sports? You know, like no one thinks about that when you're like 13 years old, but that's kind of what it developed into was how can I work in this space and eventually realizing that I can make an impact in women's sports other than playing on the field, which was never going to happen for me, but what else can I do? And that's what I really try and teach those young women who are in middle school or junior high and high school, whatever the case may be. If you love playing and you want to stay in the game and you're a really good writer, like go work for a women's news outlet company. If you want to go into business, like go own a team. If you want to go into the medical field, go be an athletic trainer. If you want to be an engineer, go work for Wilson, go work for Louisville, go make some bats. You know what I mean? Like there are so many professions in this space, whether it's something that's already established, something like, you know, content or media, or it's something like you, where you built your business from the ground up, you know, that was your idea and yours alone. There are so many different ways that you can stay and work in this space. And we need those people. Like we need, if you're 16 and you're listening to this, we need you. Like I'm telling you right now, we need so many women that want to be here and that want to provide their experience and share their journey. And there's, you know, unless you want to be like a helicopter pilot, which I don't really know how that would work in this space, or like a marine biologist, you know, like you can work in this space with pretty much any profession. And I encourage young girls to play for as long as you can and ride that out, because you can never get those years back. But there's space for you, and we want you here for sure.
I love that so much. I think often, I mean, how many times do we hear, you know, I'm going to school for this, but I don't know what I want to do, and I don't have this figured out. And I would love to ask you the question, how did you know? You know, you obviously went to college and you majored in arts and graphic design, and you were already probably in that space. When did photography really start to take off for you? And how did you know that you kind of wanted to make a career out of it?
Probably I started with film I'll say video, because like I don't consider my dad's VHS recorder film, you know, Spielberg or something. So I started off with video, and then eventually, I'll never forget, I had a teammate who was 2 years older than me, and her name was Jen McKinley, and she was into photography, and she brought her DSLR camera down to the field on like one of those optional mandatory days where it's like, it's optional, but if you don't come, we'll know. You know, every athlete knows what that is. And I remember taking her camera, and I felt the click on that DSLR camera, and I'll never forget that moment. And I was like, yes, like I need one of these. And I went out and bought at my local camera shop, a Canon Rebel One. Like now they're on like the sevens or something. This, I don't even know if it had a number. It was just a Canon Rebel. And right. I was like, this. And so I just started shooting like everyone does when you start out. You shoot family and friends and stuff you're comfortable with. And that's kind of where I started. And then drifting into the Dallas Charge was just like, it was such a lucky scenario, because there wasn't anyone else at the time that was really shooting. There was one woman here in Chicago named Dina who had been shooting for a long time. But there was really no one else. And when I started out, like really wasn't that great, you know, but it was just kind of like by default, there wasn't anyone else sending Kat Osterman images. So like she was going to post them because they were there and she had them, whether they were like great or not really that great. So that was just being in the right place at the right time. And I just, every year I've gotten a little bit better and a little bit better, just kind of like playing sports, you know, and here we are now. So
I love that analogy. I think that's something that you could talk about, is I think we're so afraid to, you know, quote unquote, suck at something, or be willing to start out as, hey, I'm not very good at this, but you're passionate, and you wouldn't get to where you are now had you not picked up the camera and just started. And so there's so many crossovers and analogies to sport.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You feel like that helped you in softball
when
you
said that? For sure. A sense of, I guess, commitment and determination, and of feeling like you're comfortable in a space that you can win or lose and you're still okay. If that kind of makes sense. And, you know, there's like, it's just like anything else in life, photography, you fail every 5 seconds. And so being able to be in that comfortable space creatively, photo wise, and also being in the comfortable space of softball was kind of like where the magic happened. And I think that's what contributed to my kind of early success, if you will, was, you know, that's kind of rare, I feel like, of being really lucky with those two things kind of merging, where it was like, fail, succeed, but I'm still in a place that I love. I still love being on the dirt no matter what. And so that was kind of like, like never, not giving up ever, because you love where you're at, you know?
Well, and that is a question that I would ask you is, does it feel like work to you?
No, it doesn't. I say that it doesn't like shooting and planning and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes when you're like, at AU and you're midweek and you have to edit 6 games and you're like, I just want to sleep, you know, that sometimes it feels like work, but no, like I legitimately love taking pictures. Like Gwen Svetkus and Taylor Edwards got engaged and I was like, yo, let's do a photo shoot. Like in the middle of season, everyone has too many things to do, but like, I genuinely love taking pictures, whether I like go on vacation, I'm in the mountains or I'm on the field or whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. I love photographing and I'm going to be doing that for forever. And so that part, yeah, no, that never feels like work.
That's so good. Well, and we talk about being in the flow. When you're in the flow and you're doing what you love, time passes really quickly. And yeah. I would even guess you've had editing sessions. I love your posts on Instagram where you give us behind the scenes, the editing process.
Yeah.
Tell us about behind the scenes of, you know, like you're in the dugout and you're on the field and on the sidelines. Do you take the fly on the wall approach or do you feel like you're one of the athletes?
I definitely take the fly on the wall approach, but you can't help but be like super emotionally invested, right? And being in the dugout is such a sacred place. I mean, it's players, coaches, the trainer, and me/content. Like that's a very, very small group of people. And you hear and see so many things that like people will never, the general public will never know, whether it's like someone being a really great leader in a really pivotal moment that no one will ever hear, or like the trash talking that sometimes happens where you're just like you just kind of like go like this because you're like, I can't listen. There's a lot that goes on in the dugout, and it's a really special place. For the most part, it's definitely fly on the wall because you don't ever want to like interfere with the game in any way, but you can't help but like love the athletes. Like if Sierra Romero is giving a pump up speech to her team, like I'm 100% listening. I might not look like I'm listening, but on the inside, I'm like, yes, yes, Team Blue. Like you get like really fired up. It's so fun to be in the dugout and you see so many highs and lows and you really get to watch the athletes grow, over the years. And, yeah, it's loud a lot of times, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I would love to be a fly on the wall with you if you ever need a second shooter.
Yeah.
Talk about like, you know, some of those moments you've gotten to see Kat Osterman's retirement. You've gotten to photograph Team USA winning a silver medal. Like what, from the perspective where you're at, what are those moments like? And what are some of your favorite moments that you've gotten to capture?
Sometimes it's really hard to separate personal feelings between what's going on. So like Kat is walking off the field for the last time in her retirement, and I'm trying to take photos with like tears getting caught in the camera, which is, sounds so cheesy, but like it's 100% true. Sometimes it's like, it's really overwhelming to be able to witness something that is so special to so many people, whether it's something really great or it's, you know, getting the silver medal when, you know, they really wanted to get the gold. It's so emotionally draining and emotionally taxing, but it's something that, you know, that there's nobody else that gets to experience this. Like you have a bond with the player or the team from that moment that you will always have. And that's a really special feeling. Sometimes when we're in really intense games, like in Worlds in 2018, like I'm telling you, I could not tell you what happened in that game. Like it's almost like a blackout where you're like, you're so excited. You're trying to get the right shot. And it's like, I've gone back and watched highlights and I'm like, I have no idea that happened, you know, like, it's a lot of intensity. And I think it's really just about when you care so much, because, you know, I've photographed high intensity basketball games. And though I love our basketball athletes, I don't have that exact connection that I have with softball where it just feels so emotional. So yeah, I wish I could tell you that I was like one of those photographers that's just like a stone wall, but on the inside, like, you know, I've cried several times, you know, yeah, when big moments happen. So yeah, it's pretty special to witness those moments and to give the athletes a memory too. That's the other really big part of it is, you know, I'm capturing Kat's first and second retirement, wink, wink, know, to be able to give her that memory and to, you know, to hang a photo on her wall and look back on her career and, you know, 10, 20, 15 years after she's retired six more times, you know?
And yeah, the gift, that's what I was going to say, is the gift of not just the moment, but beautifully crafted and thoughtful moments. And yeah, your work just captures their personality. And I think it captures the moment where I think earlier you said, who else is going to do this? And I'm sure that a photography would be there, but someone who's vested in the game and your passion for women's sports, that you can't beat that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Those are very kind words. It's just so fun. The whole thing, it's, you know what it's like. I mean, you know, you're on the softball field all the time and you deal with softball. It's like, sometimes it is work, but like, it's just so fun. The sport is so insanely awesome that you can't help but love it.
So good. Well, let's kind of shift the conversation. Some of the stories that I love when I hear other people share is, I think it's easy to glamorize our successes. And I know that you've experienced failure and hard times. Can you kind of talk about, was there ever a time in your career where either you felt burnt out or you felt like, oh man, I really missed that opportunity? And how has it kind of led you to where you are now?
That's a really good question.
It's loaded, I know.
Yeah, no, that's like a great one, especially coming from the art community where like critique is such a heavy thing. Like I always tend to focus on what's not great. You know what I mean? So like, so I love that kind of question. I think I have it's a little bit of a two-parter. I think when I look at the kind of day-to-day, it is a photo shoot. When you go to a photo shoot, you have such an open mind and you're trying to accept a lot of different possibilities, a lot of different options, and you 100% fail at photo shoots if not a handful of times within an hour span. So for example, if I have an athlete and I'm communicating with them and I'm saying, hey, Sydney Romero, we're going to do this shot. I'm going to shoot you like this because I want it to be like this and you're going to look like this. Okay, great. And then we'll do it. And then I'll be like, this is terrible. Like, this is not what I want. You're doing great. Me, this is not what I wanted at all. I bombed this. So then one of two things can happen. I can either say, okay, let's just cut ties and move on. Or I can say, are we going to mold this? Are we going to shape it? Can we continue to improve this to where it is something that's really good? And I think in that moment where you say, like, this is not good, is really important, because you want to be able to acknowledge what is good and what is not, and be able to quickly adapt and make decisions. And you can't be embarrassed to say, or to feel bad about yourself and say, oh, this was not good. I mean, I've been in big photo shoots and just been like, this is terrible. You know what I mean? So you have to adjust yourself. You have almost like that quarterback mentality, that pitcher mentality of like short memory, you know, and say, and adjust your attitude, adjust everything and say, okay, let's move on. Because if I let my attitude be affected and I'm like, oh man, I really wanted that. Like, well, now the athlete is going to be like, oh, well, she's not very sure of herself. Whereas if I can say, nope, this isn't good. Let's do this. Here's the game plan. This is why, this is how we're going to do it. Then they're going to be like, game on, let's do it. So I think in that sense, when you take photos, you succeed and fail just back and forth all day long. On a bigger span, I would say after that intern year with the Dallas Charge, I was still kind of figuring out like if I could go into this space, like what was going to happen. And I wanted to work with athlete media management in a sense. So I worked with two athletes, Nadia Taylor and Lauren Hager. And I was like, I want to do your photos, video, website, social, all that kind of stuff. And I just didn't love it. Like it was okay. And Nadia and Lauren are tremendous human beings, but I like didn't really love it the way I thought I would. And it just kind of like fizzled out. And I kind of look back now and I'm like, that was not really a success. The upshot of that is figuring out just naturally how to turn that, what I would say was a failure, into something that still used those same characteristics that I had. I had good relationships with the athletes, good energy, that kind of thing, and turned that into a vlog with Athletes Unlimited that ended up playing on like national television. So figuring out how to make something that didn't work for me into something that could work for me. And then that vlog has led to other bigger and better things. So yeah, it's kind of like no one really likes looking back at your failures, but you can still say like what was good and what was bad, and then take the good stuff and then move on and continue to kind of build off that.
That's amazing. A good friend loves the quote, here is on the way there.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah. If you don't ever get to the here, you would never get to there.
Right. some yeah, way. For sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the whole journey is just a constant, you know, succeed, fail over and over and over. I mean, it's literally the same as being an athlete, especially in our sport, you know? So, yeah, I think a failure is definitely part of the whole thing that makes the successes like a little bit sweeter, you know? So.
Yeah. Well, I know we kind of asked this question, but you know, if we talk about the flip side of that coin, what, you know, besides the silver medal, or maybe we talk into that, what are some of your favorite moments? Like beyond those moments, are there any other times that you just felt so much gratitude for your journey?
Yeah, I would say the biggest one is probably, you mentioned it like right out the gate, but the Topps Cards has just been like the most wild adventure ever. Especially with us being in Barnes & Noble and Target this year, which was just bonkers when you think about it. So that is so emotional for me to see the Sam Fishers on an actual like Topps card, knowing that there's some like 12-year-old out there who's like trading those things away, or, you know, trading to get them. Not that you would trade Sam Fisher. But yeah, I would say that has been really special. And also that's been really special because, you know, we kind of mentioned this before we started recording, but someone like Ashley Burkhart, who played, you know, back in the day and played that year and put in her time, where all of those athletes that did that and that put in those years in pro softball before this have contributed to something like Topps Cards. And they might not be on one, but all those girls that kept the league going to now, and some of them have spanned across both, it's really special to be able to have that Topps Card moment with those girls. And, you know, especially the ones that just were really there as kind of the foundation, you know, for all those years ago. So definitely the Topps Card. The other one, I actually have never really like vocalized this, but on a day like National Girls and Women in Sports Day or World Softball Day, when I am just being tagged like every 5 minutes, that's like the best feeling, like 100%. It's just the coolest thing. When you see your picture be girls' profile pictures or on websites and stuff like that. And that is just when stuff can feel like it's a lot at work, and when you're tired, not like there's just certain things where you're like, man, that's why I do this. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a really special feeling when that happens. So I have a lot of really big moments, but I would say like the Topps Card, the Olympics, you know, the day-to-day stuff, those are probably my favorite.
That's awesome. I love that. Well, we're just riffing on some things. What message would you want to send, you know, if you're speaking to some of these opportunities that, you know, we may didn't realize or have as the game continues to grow? Where do you see the game growing for the next generation? Like, what are you excited about?
I hope that there is no, that being like a women's sports photographer or working in the women's sports space, I hope that just like disappears to where no one cares. Like, I have a friend at Athletes Unlimited who had like, she made like a whole campaign of like, I hope one day that it's not even like a factor. And that's kind of the goal, is where, you know, women's volleyball selling out a football stadium is not like the biggest news on the planet. That's how it is. You know what I mean? Like, I hope that that's how it is one day, where, you know, trying to tell girls to come work in women's sports is not like a task. They're just like, yeah, like I'm going to go work in women's sports. It's going to be great. That's kind of the goal. That's where I hope it is, you know, and I hope that in 10, 15, 20 years that like something like Athletes Unlimited is like still rolling hard, that the W is still rolling hard. And the statistics on women's sports and the money invested in women's sports is just like a new graphic comes out every day where you're just like, what? Like, it's amazing. And I hope that someday soon that it's not news anymore, because it's expected. It's the way that things are. And I think we're definitely going in the right direction. So, but you know, we still got a little bit of ways to go.
Yeah. But it's fun to see those stats, and yeah, Husker volleyball is electric right now. And
yeah,
I think the jokes are hilarious too, of, what's the shirt that's going out right now, is Nebraska is a volleyball school.
Oh yeah. So
yeah,
awesome.
Sure. Yeah. Of course. Right. We can do that. What's wrong with that? It's not, right. It's not satirical to us.
Yeah.
It's real.
Yeah, exactly. And so, the world like catching on now, you know, like it's so ridiculous that all these kind of graphics are like, you know, companies are realizing the value in women's sports. And it's like, come on, man. Like there's always been value here. Like get in on this. Like it's just crazy now. It feels like the world's finally catching up to what the rest of us already know.
Yeah. Well, and look at the College World Series too, you know, the viewership and the excitement and not to compare because it's apples to oranges, but you think about the electricity of watching a fast paced softball game to us that we don't really put much stock into that because we know that that's what the game is. It's not faster or slower compared to baseball, but now baseball has pitch timers and pitch clocks and they're trying to speed up the game and everything's changing. Well, where do you think that came from?
Right. It's like, well, you know, we've been doing that. You know, we've been having some from 2 hour games, you know, we're not out there for 4.5 hours playing baseball, you know? Yeah. That's such a great point. I mean, yeah, that's so accurate.
Yeah. Well, I would be missing a huge opportunity to ask you. This is one of our favorite questions to ask every podcast guest. And I know it's going to be an amazing answer. You are a time traveler and you can go back in time and give your past self one message. What would you tell yourself?
That the grind matters. I think throughout my career, when I look back on like what has built my photo character, it's the grind. Like it's waking up at 4 a.m. for those shoots in college where I would go shoot recruiting videos. And like, I don't even think about those now, but like, there's so much that's just like not fun. That's a grind that you just have to do those for years and years and years and years. And it matters now. And to not ever doubt that or not ever kind of like quit on that, because even now, like setting up media day, like flying into a city, setting up media day then and there, and then coming back at 6 a.m. the next morning, like there's a lot of it that is just kind of rough, but that grind all those years, all that time you put in, all that effort you put in, all those days that I would wake up at my friend's slumber parties and I would be the first one up and out the door before they woke up because I was going to shoot recruiting videos, that all of that matters. And that is stuff that you can't just teach that to somebody. You know what I mean? Like, and the same can be said for any athlete, you know, pro athlete or whoever could say the same thing. But don't ever be discouraged by the grind, because sometimes it just kind of sucks and you just got to do it and do it and do it until, you know, maybe one day when it gets a little bit easier, but the grind is really, really valuable. And also to stay true to who you are. There's been several moments in my career where, whether it's something as simple as like a social media post or dealing with a coworker, an athlete, or whatever the case may be, is trusting your gut on what you stand for and who you are, and not deviating from that just because of other people or a social media trend or, you know, whatever is kind of cool at the time. Stay true to your gut, because you can feel those kind of things in your gut. And when when it's right and when it's not. So my mom would be proud of that answer, I feel like. So yes, I guess staying true to who you are is my other one.
That's awesome. I love your thoughtful responses. And this conversation has been so amazing. I know that you're going to continue to post your work and behind the scenes on Instagram. You're most active on Instagram, right?
Yeah, Instagram. I'm on the Twitter or the X. I don't know what the kids call it these days. Yep. And on my website, just jhewittmedia.com. But wait, hold on. I have a question for you before we stop this. Because I know that you were an umpire for like, 7 years? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So I have to tell you that my dad, like some parents want their kids to be like a doctor or a lawyer. My dad wanted me more than anything else in this life to be an umpire. He still wants me to be an umpire.
Wow.
And like, I read that you were an umpire and I was like, my dad would trade for you in a heartbeat. I don't know if you remember this, but on Disney Channel, like literally 20 something years ago, they would highlight like teenagers and their kind of odd jobs. And there was one girl who was an umpire and they showed her umpiring and she would be like in her bedroom, like practicing calls.
Oh yeah.
And my dad was like, that's my dream daughter. So it's just, I literally saw that and I was like, I have to ask her about it because you are my dad's dream child.
But you know what's funny about that is I have an uncle that was an MLB umpire, and hearing his stories, that wouldn't that be amazing if your goal was to become a women's professional umpire? Like, what if our game? Yeah, I mean, that opportunity is here now. I still do keep in touch with a lot of my umpire friends, and if I didn't have three young kids and I wasn't coaching, I probably would pursue umpiring, but it takes some thick skin, some like seriously thick skin, but it's fun.
Yeah, he actually made me be a soccer ref, which like I hated with the fire of a thousand suns. But yeah, being an ump in softball is just, that's a whole different kind of person than I'm not. So like, kudos to you, my girl. 'Cause that's just wild.
Hey, you never know. I still got my shirts in the closet. That's another career choice.
We can right?
You want to stay involved with the game? Why not be an umpire?
It's everywhere. All the opportunities. Sorry. I just had to ask you about that.
Oh my gosh. I love it. They've been running, I think you can have up to a 4-man crew, which they don't really do a good job of showing it on TV, which is kind of another concept of being a fly on the wall. If you're really good at being an umpire, nobody notices you.
Right.
But, you know, like the Colorado Sparkler tournament and some of the bigger tournaments, I've gotten to umpire in the Colorado Sparkler twice.
Oh, wow.
And they teach you how to run 3-man crews, which basically you're assigned to a base and one foul line. Mm-hmm. And so the complexity of that is just so fun to think about too.
You are a different kind of person and I wish you all the best, but, God, that's a whole different ball game, but that's awesome though. I was like so excited to ask you about that.
That's awesome. This has been such an amazing conversation. I can't wait to see what 2024 brings both of us. And I appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. And look, thank you so much for, you know, what the people in this community that are dedicated to this community and put every single ounce of your workday into bettering softball at all levels, especially at, I mean, you're on the literal ground floor of impacting like the future. And there's not enough love in the world to give to you. And especially like building a business and everything. And you know, there's not a whole lot of y'all out there that are in this sport 24/7, just doing the work and doing the grind. So yeah, people like you, it's just so vital to this community and this space. So thank you for all you do for sure.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. You're awesome. Well, till next time, this isn't goodbye. It's just see you later. Thanks, Jade. Appreciate it.
Thank you.